Happy New Year, and happy Epiphany Sunday. Delighted to see you. Thank you for joining us today. Today, being the first Sunday of the new year, we do not have second hour classes. So we get to go home a bit earlier than we often do, many of us, and that does give us a longer period of time to be in Fellowship Hall, enjoying refreshments and each other's friendship together, and we hope that you will join us there. There is one error in the calendar section of our bulletin insert. We have a weekly Bible study every Wednesday, midday, and we used to meet at 1:30, and that is the time listed, but please know that the Bible study time has been changed to 1 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. And again, we hope many of you will join us for that. It's a great group, and the teaching isn't bad. There's a special emphasis in the weeks ahead on a very important aspect of this church, local mission. And Peter Stover is coming forward now to tell us about that.
Everything I'm going to talk about is in this little flyer here. I encourage you to look at that. My name is Pete Stover, and I'm a member of the HERE Anchor Team, and today I invite you to three HERE Anchor Team events occurring over the next three Sundays as part of our Knowing and Loving Our Neighbors initiative. Quick review. Our mission outreach is divided into three anchor teams. The HERE team, my team, coordinates mission HERE. The near anchor team coordinates mission not HERE, but nearby, like Hope Clinic in Ypsilanti, and the far anchor team includes Amos in Nicaragua. So you have this. The bulletin board also summarizes this quite well. You're familiar with Vespers dinners. They're on every Tuesday of the year. That's a lot of dinners. The Warming Center is a day shelter that occurs in February for several weeks. The overnight rotating shelter is 1 week in March. All three of these ministries reach out to the same general population, the homeless and the at risk, with those risks being financial or health or mental health. These are folks who, for whatever reason, have fallen through the cracks, and we are called to help them. Next Sunday, January the 12th, Sarah Kruska, who's the operations director for the Shelter Association of Washtenaw County and the Delana Center, which is on West Huron, just a few blocks from here, will be our guest in worship and second hour. And during that second hour, she will share all the good things that Delana is doing for the homeless. She'll help us understand how people become homeless and a little bit about what it's like to be homeless in Washtenaw County in the winter. The following Sunday, Sherry Wander, who partners with us for Vespers in the Warming Center, will continue that same thing, digging deeper into the challenges facing this vulnerable population. And Sherry will be coaching us on ways that we can become more comfortable and confident interfacing with the friends we serve here. So it's clear our church devotes a lot of time and energy to these ministries. It's clear our church thinks this work is important, and we're right about that. So join us. The second hour, the next two Sundays, as we welcome Sarah next week and Sherry the week after. I'll bring my questions, you bring your questions together. We'll learn, because the more we know our neighbors and the more our neighbors know us, the more fully we can love them.
Now the hour of worship is upon us. Let's lay aside all the distractions that we're able to set aside. Let us be as attentive as we can to the presence of God here. Let's be attentive to the circumstance of our own lives, who we are, and who we are called to be. And let's be attentive to the world as it is, and who we are called to be in it. Let us worship.
If you are able, please rise for the invocation. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together this morning for a time of worship. Open our hearts and our minds so we may better understand your will and not ours. Help us to do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with you, and lead us towards peace. Amen. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples.
But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you.
Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn.
Lift up your eyes and look around. They will gather together. They come to you.
And you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
This is the reason that I, Paul, am the prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the ministry was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed into his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the workings of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plain of the mystery hidden for all ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety may now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. I pray, therefore, that you may not lose heart over my sufferings for you. They are your glory. The word of the Lord.
Let's pray together, please. Gracious God, we are grateful to have crossed over now into a new year. And we think back on what was hard for us, on what our losses were and our frustrations, our struggles, our occasional fury, our grief. We think also where we went wrong, what we have reason to regret. And all of it lies behind us now. So if we have not already, please help us now to release it into your keeping. We are letting go, trusting to your mercies all that happened and all that did not. We release them. We are mindful, too, of how much good came our way. The people who, by their encouragement, have upheld us. The friendships and kindness and laughter and love we have known. Your loving kindness on our lives. Let us not forget these gifts, but with gratitude, lay fresh claim on them and live with openness to new gifts as with new responsibilities. May our love for you and for your world find stronger expression. And may we live always open to your new word for us. In this time of escalating rancor between Iran and the United States, we pray for the least possible destructive outcomes. May leaders find restraint and choose less violent alternatives. May the world be spared yet another war. May the practices that make for peace be more and more undertaken by us all. And may we ourselves be better practitioners of peace. We pray also today for these. For Jim. For Nancy, for Jenny, Ella, Bonnie, Valerie, David, Shuyu, the people of Hong Kong, Barry Smith, Rachel, Shannon, Gia, for Steve, Alan, Joyce, for Catherine, Rebecca, we pray for Nick Dodson, for Joe Mortensen, for Stacy, for Juanita Dieterle, Iris Martin, Pat Hubel. We pray today for the family and friends of Jean Myers. And now, O God, we offer our silent prayers. O loving God, may we seek you with all our hearts now and in the days ahead, so that by the power of your Spirit we will become more faithfully and more happily your children, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Will you stand with me for the reading of our gospel? This is the gospel according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of the Lord. You may be seated, and I invite the children forward for Time as Children with Zan.
I am going to share a new song with you today. We're going to learn our new congregational song, and I want to start with the third line, looking at together. God in Christ has come to stay. We've been celebrating God coming as baby Jesus, and we know that Jesus grows up, and he gets to be in his 30s, and then we know that Jesus dies, and Jesus rises from the dead. And then often kids say, "But then where did Jesus go?" To heaven. Jesus ascends. Yeah. And then God says, "Well, I am always with you." This says God in Christ has come to stay. It's the Spirit that is always with us. Another part of God. So this song is all about Jesus coming as a baby, Jesus staying with us, and the Spirit is that way. And there are three words I want us to really think about today. May the Spirit fill.
Fill our praise. I love watching things fill. Fill our praise. Can you imagine the Spirit filling you up like this? Let's go away. May your Spirit fill our praise, nice and high. Phil.
Guide our thoughts. Guide the ways we think. Asher has a good friend named Tristan, and Tristan is blind. He can't see. And when Tristan moves from room to room at school, often a friend will help guide him. And I asked Asher if he would help show us what that looks like. Can you show? Let's pretend that I'm Tristan. Can you show us how you guide? Find his way with his cane, and he's also holding on to somebody who's guiding him. When we sing those words, let's think about us holding on to the elbow of God. Can you think about that? Oh, I like that image. Holding on to the elbow of God as God guides you. Phil, guide our thoughts and change our ways. I brought something in here. Ooh, it's very cold. Lucas, can you hold it for me? An ice cube. What's going to happen as Lucas holds that ice cube and as Anna holds this one? You're right, it's going to melt. It already has started. You see the water in there? That's from the beginning of church. Yeah. You know what? Ice, water changes from ice to liquid. It can be a gas too. Changing. I like that. Thinking about God changing our ways. Sometimes it's warming us up, softening us up. Oh, yes, now we're getting drippy. Better put it in here. There you go, good. God changing us. Can you imagine God holding you in his hands? I love that. And then we have that line, God in Christ has come to stay. Live tomorrow's life today. Live like it's true. Live the life God wants for you. So we're going to listen to Shanae play this song through. She's going to play it all the way through once. And then we'll join in with her. All right, so can you listen with your ears to hear the tune? And then we'll all sing together after she plays it once through. We are starting a new year, 2020. May this be our prayer. You can pray these in speaking words. You can pray them as we get to know them as a song and sing it in our hearts. But this is a prayer. I'm going to pray it in speaking words now. Would you repeat after me? We're going to use these words right up here so you can keep your eyes open if you'd like. God hears us that way too. God, may the Spirit fill our praise. May the Spirit fill our praise. Guide our thoughts. And change our ways. God in Christ has come to stay. We'll live tomorrow's life today. Amen. If you are...
Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I assume there are people who dutifully close down everything and turn off their computer every day, but I've never been one of them. I don't like to shut my computer down because I don't like to close out all my internet tabs. I don't like to shut down all the things I'm still trying to work on. I can imagine there's a small feeling of satisfaction that comes with turning off your computer at the end of the day. And if you are one of those people, you can give me testimony about that later. I just find my satisfaction in opening up my computer each morning and finding all 53 tabs open, exactly as I left them. But sooner or later, all of us who do our work on computers find ourselves in a situation where we just have to close it down and reboot, whether we want to or not. When something on the computer is stuck or frozen and force quit just isn't working, eventually there's just no choice. Reboot. When something isn't loading right, or things just aren't working the way they're supposed to, which happens a surprising number of times if you don't turn your computer off for 18 weeks in a row. But when things aren't working right and every effort at addressing it has failed, reboot. When the computer says the memory is full and that in order to operate, it has to be shut down, then that's what you do, reboot. Sometimes there's an update to the computer system that you have tried to put off and you finally realize you just have to make that update, and in order to update, you are gonna have to close everything down and shut the computer off and restart it. So you reboot. In other words, on the computer, when you've done all you could and nothing else has worked and you don't know what to do next, this is what you do. You reboot. You quit trying to do what's not working. You let it go. You turn the computer off. You might lose some work. And then you turn it back on and you start over again. Everyone knows the new year is a good time for a reboot. Whether you've been feeling stuck or not, whether you feel like what you're doing is not working or it is, reboot. A lot of us enter the year with deep hopes and big dreams for our bodies, our relationships, our careers, our homes, our families, our finances. We have desires to do better, to be better. These desires aren't superficial. Our longing comes from a deep place. We want to live good lives. We want to be the best people we can be. Now, some of the manifestations of those longings may seem superficial, but I think that's because it's just easier to measure pounds lost and dollars saved and A's made than it is to measure our real worth, our real impact, our real legacy. It's hard to measure the meaning of life, so we will settle for what the scale or the mirror or the checkbook or the report card will tell us. Our mistake maybe isn't having goals that can be measured in these ways. Our mistake is allowing those metrics to tell us who we are who we need to be, and what our worth is. It isn't just the beginning of the new year, 2020. In the church, it's also the Feast of the Epiphany, the holy day for commemorating the journey of the Magi, the visit to the Christ child. And it is a story of a fresh start. The Magi, who we have traditionally called wise men or kings, were actually neither of those. They were priests. They were Zoroastrian priests, holy men of one of the world's oldest religions, the official religion at that time of the area we now call Iran. Before the official religion became Islam, Zoroastrian priests were scholars who were known for telling fortunes, understanding astrology, and interpreting dreams. And like the Jews, the Zoroastrians were anticipating the birth of a savior, the true savior. So the priests spent their lives scanning the skies in hopes of knowing when this miraculous birth had happened. So when they spotted a star rising in the night sky, they went after it. And they visit the king to ask where the child is. And based on what his priests tell him, the Zoroastrian priests go to Bethlehem on the prophecy of the Hebrew scriptures. They follow the star to the little town of Bethlehem, and they see the star stop over the place where the child is, and they are overwhelmed with joy. They go in the house. They see the child with his mother. They kneel down. They worship him. They open their treasure chests and give him strange and extravagant gifts. And then they act on a dream they all had that warned them not to return to see the king. So they leave for home, going by another road. Man, it's a beautiful story. We love it. It's the story of a fresh start. These men had spent their lives waiting for something and watching for a sign of it. And when they see that sign, they go for it. It leads them to an encounter with God, the encounter they've been longing for. And so they kneel and they marvel and they give the gifts they've brought. And they get up and go another way, a new path. Reboot. And it strikes me that this story, for all its mystical, almost magical details, actually gives some very practical pointers on making a fresh start. The pointers could, in fact, fit on one of those neat little lists that everyone posts and sends around for the new year. You know what I'm talking about. 3 steps to financial health. 5 habits for a new you. 7 days to physical fitness. And no debt. And the happiest children in the world. Next week, you'll be disappointed with all of those. But the Magi have something more to offer. Here are the Magi's 6 steps to a fresh start. I know, it's supposed to be an odd number. It's supposed to be 3, 5, 7, 21-day jump start. Here are the Magi's 6 steps. Number 1, pay attention. The Magi saw that star rising in the sky because they were looking for it. They were ready for it. They were waiting. They were watching. They were paying attention. The first invitation for anyone who wants a fresh start. Pay attention. Awareness. Mindfulness. Be present to the moment. to the world around you. Lift your eyes from the screen and look. Notice what is happening in your life, in the room that you're in the world that you're in. Engage with it. Be ready. Number two, do the next right thing. Just the one next right thing, the next step. The Magi saw the star rising, and they followed it to a destination they could not yet see. They had to stop and ask questions and seek wisdom along the way. They didn't know the whole path when they started. They didn't have to. They knew what they were seeking. They just didn't know the details of where exactly they were headed or how they were going to get there. And they didn't wait for that. They didn't wait for everything to become clear before they would do anything. They took one step at a time, trusting there would be enough light all along the way. It's good to remember at the beginning of a fresh new year, even when you know what you want, what you're seeking, you don't have to have everything mapped out. And you don't have to wait for it all to be clear or even for it all to make sense. You just need to take one next step. And then the next one. And then the next one. And keep doing that. The next right thing. Number three. Pause for wonder and for worship. When the Magi arrived where they'd been headed, they stopped. They celebrated. They were overwhelmed with joy. And they knelt down in wonder and in worship. When we live truly engaged lives, when we pay attention to the details of what's happening in our lives, our attentiveness leads to awe. We will attend to the details. We will notice the details, the dark, warm comfort of that first sip of coffee, the crispness of the pages of the book we're reading, that penetrating gaze of the pet at our feet, the soft sound of snow slapping on the sidewalk, even the smooth feel of the phone in our hands that connects us to each other and to the world. When we are mindful, attentive, engaged, any one of those details, even the most seemingly most mundane, can be a stopping point, a chance to pause for a moment of gratitude, joy, wonder, even worship, not of the coffee or the cat or the book or the snow or the phone, but of the God that sparks behind it all and connects us to ourselves and to each other and to what is holy. Number four, give the gifts that are yours to give. When you have that moment of wonder or worship, how do you respond? I know the gifts that the Magi gave that baby were outrageous. They seem ridiculous. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. They knew they were going to see a king. They put together treasure chests full of every kingly thing they could think of. And we remember them for it. We remember specifically what they brought. We remember their extravagance and their generosity, but we also remember the particulars, the details. They weren't generous in general. They gave specifically. You and I have gifts to give too, not just in general. Specific contributions to make, a particular way of being and doing and giving that is uniquely yours. We have the impulse to give, the need to give. And you may be tempted to hold back because you think what you have to bring doesn't measure up, or it isn't enough, or it isn't good enough, or maybe whatever your unique gifts are just don't seem like useful contributions to a hurting world. But you have no idea how God might want to use even your most outrageous interest or ridiculous seeming ability. You and God are the only ones who know what your deepest desires, gifts, passions, interests, and abilities are. And God is the only one who knows what will happen if you use them, if you release those desires, gifts, passions into the world, give what is uniquely yours to give, even if it doesn't seem useful or spiritual enough or appropriate. Have you been holding back? Reboot. Number 5, listen. Listen to your God-given dreams. Listen for the voice of God, however it will come. The Magi were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. If the Magi do as the king has instructed and return, bringing word of where the child is, the child will be in danger, and maybe the Magi will be too. But the Magi have a dream, and they listen to it instead. They don't listen to the actual words of an actual person in power. They listen to this deep, strange, mystical thing. They have a dream, and they listen to it, which can't be easy. It's so much easier to listen to the pundits and the politicos and the popular opinion than it is to listen for God's voice, especially when it goes against what we were already told, or what we already thought was the right thing. But our God-given dreams can carry a message. And our experiences, our insights, our emotions, our gut reactions, these can all be vehicles for God to speak wisdom into our lives, wisdom of another way, wisdom that undoes what we thought. God is reaching towards us all the time and will use any means necessary to connect and to speak, a star, a baby, a dream. Number 6, do all these things. Pay attention, find the next right step, pause for wonder, give the gifts that are yours, listen. Do all these things with your people, your community. Yes, do them on your own too, but don't forget, you are not on your own. You are not alone. In this way, the kind of reboot we're talking about is actually pretty different from rebooting your computer. If you've had to do that under stressful circumstances, you know the frazzlement of sitting before a frozen screen, realizing there is nothing anyone else can do to help you. All you can do is turn the thing off, lose what there is, and turn it back on. That's not what we're talking about here. You're not alone. Yes, you have your own individual hopes about the year ahead, and you will face your own particular challenges. But you are not alone in your effort to start a new year in faith and hope and love. The Magi traveled in a group. They helped each other see and interpret the signs and take the next right step. They worshiped together. They gave their gifts together. They even apparently all had the same dream. And together they understood it in the same way. They listened to it and they set out on a different road together. It was home they were headed for, but the road they were going to take this time was different than the one they'd taken before. So too with us. 2020 stretches out ahead of us, all fresh and promising, like every new year seems. In the coming weeks, we will continue talking about how we make a fresh start in faith and in life, how we take the different path that God may be calling us to. But for today, we just listen to the invitation the story of the Magi offers us. We can reboot, start over again, if we pay attention, do the next right thing, pause for wonder and worship, give the gifts that are yours to give, listen to your God-given dreams and all the other ways God is speaking, and do it all connecting with your community. And here's the secret. These aren't just neat little tips for a new year. These are soul practices for any time, any day, every day. Reboot. Happy New Year. We do have gifts to give, and now we have opportunity to give them. We also have gifts to receive. In this morning in particular, as we make our way into a new year, we have a resource for your reboot. Last year, we did this for the first time for Epiphany. We have Star Words. As the plates go by, there will also be baskets passed that have stars face down, and you just pick one. It doesn't matter which one. There's not a right one. There's not a wrong one. There may be a right one, but there's not a wrong one. You pick one, and you see what word is on it. And I really like my word. My word is enjoyment. This is a word for your year. Use it as you wish to see what light it may offer for your discernment, for your decisions in the days ahead, for where God may be inviting you to put your focus, or what invitation or even challenge God might have for you. Now, if you pick a word and you don't like it at all, maybe it's still an invitation, or maybe you'll just put it right back in and pull another one, and that's okay. I'm not the star word police. Just pick a word, take it with you, see what light it shines, and give your gift.
Delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a by water and by the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
After the meal, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." by your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. The offering to be taken at the door today is for our church's fellowship fund. These are funds we use to give material assistance for people who come our way and need help to pay some of their bills or to find housing for the night or in some other way need to get through a period of need. Let's do that to you, please. Will you please stand for our hymn of fellowship?
Go from this place to love the Lord your God with all your